Yeah, started. Okay, almost 8:10, huh? We can get ready for puja. So tonight, who are the nominee, the lucky two, to come out and light the candle and the incense? Where is Mifong? Mifong? Where is Mifong? Kitchen. Tiam, look at Suyan Tiam today. Yeah, the two of you. Light the candle and the incense. No problem, you get ready. Then later on, you all can get ready. We will start the puja. Tonight is special because after this, two Thursday, I will be flying off to Japan, so we have to cancel the class. So hopefully you all can make full use of the next 2 weeks to cultivate. On next two Thursday, actually not 2 weeks, only 1 week. It happened that I fly out on Thursday, come back on Wednesday night, I think. So we see how. If that night you all want, I let Suyan know, then Suyan will send it out. Otherwise, tentatively it's cancer. We see how it goes. Okay, you all can stand, light the candle. The incense, Come, we all stand. Okay. Start out with the tray. Offer the tray first. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Yeah, rejoice, sadhu, sadhu. Then maintain mindfulness or attentiveness through whatever you observe, perceive, and when you offer and receive. Develop the awareness. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. 进来一点, 给他们赞, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Can stand over here, come. Stand over here. Christina, go来. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Krishna, yeah? Sadhu, 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 sadhu. No need to pass that one, we just rejoice together. We rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you. Can be seated. Okay, compose your mind, develop the faith. Then we will pay respect mindfully by chanting the salutation, yeah, to the Triple Gem. Arahaṃ sammasambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah, sadhu. Turn to page 1 of our new chanting book. We will recite the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tatiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tatiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, ปานาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะดังสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะดังสมาทิยามิกามิสุมิจฉาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะดังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะดังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรยามัจจาปมาทัฏฐานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะดังสมาทิยามิวิวัชฌันตปฏิภาพูชา offering of likes กันนะสารปาดิเตนะดิเตนะตามาดังสีนะติโลกาดิปังสัมบุตังปูชายามิตามโนดังกันดะสัมบรายเตนะโดเปนะหังสุขังหินะปูชายะปูชานิยังตังปูชาบัจจานะโมตมังวันนะกันดะโกโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันตติปูชายามิโมนินดาสสิริปัฏสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตรังกสุเมนะเนนะปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเจโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาทิวาสิตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตมังอาสิวาสิตุโนบันเตปานิสิกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะอะติกังหาตุมุตตมังตุโนบันเตโภชานังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปริกันหาตุมุตตมังNow we will do the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we will make this aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity.To dispel all darkness or ignorance of a significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide.Just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, which is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path of fruition as soon as possible.Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we'll pay respect to Tripaja. Betang puji ini. Damang puji ini. Sanghang puji ini. Okay, you can be seated. Oh, Danny, you are here. You can sit over here if you want to. There's a seat here. Okay. Make sure you are comfortable. Otherwise, you try to find some space. Or go up the staircase there, the platform. You can sit there too. So, try to squeeze a bit. Tonight, like I said, 24th March 2016. So, after this, the next one is 31st of March. I will be flying off to actually Hokkaido, Japan, Sapporo. So I will be there about 1 week. So two of the Thursday will be affected. But I see how it goes because my flight actually returned from Japan, Sapporo on the 6th, which was Wednesday. I reach here will be quite late, but never mind, we'll see how it goes. If next day I don't have anything, then I let Suyan know, and we can still have the class. Otherwise, tentatively, it's cancer, okay? Not until you receive the WhatsApp notice from Suyan. So hopefully, the condition can be that you don't miss two class. But whatever it is, make full use of this. Maybe class cancellation is a blessing in disguise. Make use of this, whatever, 1 week or so, to develop your cultivation. Because by now, after the retreat, most of you already have the understanding of how to develop this cultivation. Then now, the heart sutana will be very simple. You read through, you will understand differently. Especially for those who were there, a lot of things happen. But you all may not know, actually everybody receive, and their nature is very fair. When they give to all. But how much you can receive depends on your cultivation, your faith, your sincerity, your understanding and perseverance. But whatever it is, whatever that is meant for all. So that's why you have to play your part, like the Buddha said. The Samasambuddha can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. So you have to develop that affinity with Triple Gem. Even though you take refuge, but you must recognize what these refuge are. And you have to determine to life after life, have that understanding so that when you arise, this particular refuge or aspiration that you make will take effect and you will have the understanding to actually cultivate and move. So understanding is very important. That's why I said you have to develop the merits, the blessing, then invoke the power of blessings and merits for causes and conditions to enable your nature to have this understanding life after life when you choose to come or you have to come. Then you will become beautiful. Then you can connect very fast and very easily. Then vow to develop the understanding of this refuge so that you understand what is it that you are taking refuge on. the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. That's why when you develop this understanding, your faith is very different. Your understanding is very different. You won't debate. Then whenever you have to come or choose to come, you will be able to connect very fast. And you will develop this understanding much, much faster so that you don't have to go through life with delusion to experience your coming friction so often or for so long. If you connect early, you actually have more years of beautiful, good life to really live and cultivate and progress further. So all these are understanding that you should develop. Okay, now we go into meditation. Okay, good. We got half an hour, 8:30, and off the light. Then anybody who is completely new, first time here, oh good, nobody here, all here before. Who is just? You. That's why, you are first time here. I didn't see your face before. okay. Who's that? Oh, Christina, friend. Oh, do you have any Buddhist understanding? Understanding of the Buddha's teaching? No, completely new. Oh, good. Very good. Clean slate, easy to understand. You learn very fast. Very good. Are you officially with any belief system? Do you have any religion or belief system? Don't have, huh? Yes. By birth or what? By being a Chinese. Buddhist. Oh, you really have the Buddhist understanding and you really go to the temple to... you go to which temple? Oh, okay. When you go there, what do you do? Oh, you don't know what you do. Okay, you are typical of the Chinese Buddhist. They call it the Buddhist by tradition, because we come from a Buddhist family. So last time in school, also, they asked us, "What is your religion?" We don't know. Then you say, "Your parent and your family Chinese, isn't it? Do you pray to deity?" Oh yeah, okay, you put Buddhist. You at that time don't understand. Actually, praying to deity and all those things is not Buddhist. That one is our Chinese tradition, traditional belief system. They are more towards the Taoist practice, but not the true Tao. The true Tao is different. They also have their teaching. But the Taoist practice means more towards the lay life. They actually modify to suit the lay life. So don't worry. Whatever it is, you are beautiful because you are not influenced by other teaching. So you can listen attentively, then you will understand. Okay, can we off the light? For those who already know how to meditate, you go ahead. No need to wait. Then I will give her some instruction. Those who are new can also listen as a revision. We are here to develop the training of the mind, to be mindful, to be heedful, so that our mind will not think a lot, will not become heedless, will not like wander off very fast. The lack of peace, the lack of what they call clarity, all this happened because according to Lord Buddha, human mind, because of delusion, ignorant, they cannot understand. So when they live life with this delusion, they become heedless. Heedless means they think a lot, they worry a lot, their mind is not peaceful. So according to the Buddha, the reason why living being is not peaceful and not able to meditate with clarity of mind and silent awareness within is because we have developed unknowingly the five mental hindrances. These mental hindrances are mental states that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner clarity of mind. So because of that, these five After you will see them, they are the mental hindrance that the Buddha has defined. The first two are sensual desire and ill will. Whenever you experience light through your consciousness, the seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought consciousness, when you react to what you see, what you hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, these are positive and negative craving. So when you do that, you arise mental hindrance because these are sensual desire and ill will. So when you are involved with that sense experience, preoccupied with whatever sense experience, and you react to it and stir your mind, that's why you are not able to be with the moment with a calm, clear mind to understand what is going on, where you are lost in thought, preoccupied with all those movement and thinking and stirring of your mind. So these are called hindrance because it hinders you from becoming peaceful, from becoming aware to understand what is going on. Then the third one is sleepiness. When you don't understand the importance of this training of mind to develop the meditation, to develop the understanding of life and wisdom, you will become sleepy. You will not be interested in doing this because you can understand. The fourth one is, if you don't have the understanding of life, you will make a lot of mistakes. And the Buddha said, most of these mistakes come from your inability to understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. There's a nature's law called the law of karma, moral causation. If you violate this law, you will suffer. So that's why the Buddha recommends you have to avoid all evil and do good. Avoiding evil is to avoid the negative karma. Do good is to actually develop wholesomeness so that you can get more blessing. If you commit negative karma, you reap what you sow, then you will become afflicted in future when there is condition. So because of that, the Buddha recommended the precepts, the five precepts, minimum lay people, you must keep them. If you violate them, you will commit evil karma, because people who violate these five precepts, they have the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, and it will lead to their downfall. That's why precept is introduced for the good of the many, out of love and compassion for living beings. The Buddha issue or administer your precept and advise you to keep them is for your own good, so that you will not fall, so that your life will be beautiful. You will not have to experience the friction of this negative karma. Whatever you do to people, karma-wise, when it takes effect, you will reap what you sow. That's why do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. If you cheat people, harm people, hurt people, when the friction comes, you become the victim. People will cheat you, harm you, deceive you. And when you are confronted with this situation, you will become miserable, afflicted. That's what suffering is all about. And you cannot blame people, because in the past when you did to people, you don't know how people suffer. So now the condition comes, you suffer. And when you suffer, your mind becomes restless. And that is the fourth hindrance. That's why when you have problem, when you violate your precept, this type of condition will trigger off and will make you heedless. You don't keep precept, you will not have peace. That's why the Buddha later on said, if you keep your precept, is the source of true happiness, is the source of true peacefulness of mind, is the source of true spiritual wealth. So there are a lot of advantages that come with keeping precepts. Then the fifth hindrance is, when you don't understand life, things don't go your way, then you develop fear, insecurity, unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation. So your mind becomes very confused. The Buddha says this is doubt. So this five mental hindrance for most living beings who has not developed the training of the mind, they will have them. That's why when you come here to meditate, you cannot, because you will think a lot. The moment you close your eye, the thought will come. So the Buddha said, you have to train this mind so that it will not do this, so that it will be with the moment, silent, quiet, peaceful, with clarity. And to do that, you really, really need to cultivate the opposite five. He called it the spiritual faculty. First one is faith, sadha, or virya. Sadha, which is confident in the Buddha and his teaching. When you understand who he is and how wonderful his teaching is, you will have this faith in him, this confidence. Your mind becomes very calm, very composed, and this faith will bring forth the condition for you to understand and receive his spiritual teaching. That it will lead you to cultivate, it will drive you, because you know this is important for you. When you understand this teaching, it can bring about enlightenment or liberation of mind, so that you will not suffer anymore, and you will understand life beautifully. Then you will know how to live life. Then you will have a lot of happiness, a lot of inner peace, inner well-being, and inner understanding or wisdom that will enable you to understand life clearly, then live the happy life, the noble life of an enlightened being. So this sadha will lead to virya. Virya is a spiritual zeal. Then after that, it will drive you to cultivate mindfulness. Meditation is to train your mind to have this mindfulness. The most important mental state or mind quality that you need to understand life, to develop wisdom. So we are here to train our mind to have this. Then when your mindfulness stabilizes, it becomes samadhi, the fourth spiritual faculty. Then the last one is wisdom. When there is mindfulness and collectedness of mind or samadhi, unwavering mind, you can see things as they are and develop the understanding of wisdom. And that is the last spiritual faculty. So with that understanding, I will teach you how to meditate. Yeah? You relax body and mind, silent everything, then just maintain a posture that is stable. If you cannot cross your leg, you can just sit on a stool or relax. Then stretch your leg out, it's okay, up to you. The posture is to help you to develop a stable posture to train your mind to meditate, that's it. Any posture will do. Then you close your eye, make sure your backbone is straight, silent everything, and feel your forehead. I will teach you a skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking. We call it mind sweeping method. You just feel your forehead, don't think, just feel. If you can detect any tension or any tightness or any stress within, you just soothingly relax, relax, and relax them all. Feel your entire forehead soothingly relax. Then you sweep this mind down. Then attentively feel. Feel the eye muscle do the same. Relax each and every strand of this eye muscle. Then sweep it down to your facial muscle. Feel them. Feel them soothingly, relax, relax, and relax them all. Then to assist you to relax further, you visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate this radiant smile, there is joy, there is happiness. That's why you will have the relaxed state of mind. Without this joy and happiness, you will have a lot of tension inside and stress, because the joy and happiness will lead to inner peace, inner well-being. This inner well-being will automatically relax you. When you are able to radiate a radiant smile, you have joy, you have happiness, and you are very, very happy. That's why you got no stress. Your facial muscle will release or relax on its own. Then you move your attention back to your facial muscle. Then you read it, this metta, following what I read it. You read it as follow. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the entire body and mind, each and every cells within, having this well-being and happiness, having this joy. So this mind sweeping method, first it brings about the calmness because it does not think. It deconditions your heedless thinking. Then you have inner peace. Then now with metta or loving kindness, you radiate well-being to your own self. These are very positive mental energy, or they call loving kindness energy. Then when you feel the well-being, happiness and joy in you, all your cells within that has this inner well-being, positive energy, will actually develop positive vibration. This will overcome all your fear, your worry, your sadness, your unhappiness, your negative tendency, thereby boosting your immune system so that your health will improve. All your cells will become more healthy. And those who have sickness and disease, depression and sadness, you will recover. Then you continue to read it. You can repeat one or twice. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness inside you. Then you read it further. May this body and mind of mine too be without suffering, free of all mental and physical suffering. So you feel deep within your body and mind, no more physical suffering, no more mental suffering. These are very positive mind state that can heal you, recuperate your tired body and mind, bring about inner well-being, good immune system, positive energy field. Then you continue. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then after that, you can read it, the same metta to your loved ones. May my loved ones too be well and happy. Well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. You don't have to remember all these instructions because they are already recorded in the transcript. Later, I will give those who are new the book. You read through, you understand. You just silence your mind and read it, this metta. Then you can repeat for all beings within this vicinity. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including all Kayanamitas or Dhamma friends, co-meditator, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful, without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their form and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May they all too be well and happy. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can relate this same metta to all beings within the whole of Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then our solar system, then our galaxy, then our Milky Way, then all beings throughout the entire universe. May they all do be well, happy and peaceful, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they always keep themselves happy and peaceful, always. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You come back to your facial muscles, just feel and relax everything. Then you move your attention down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, do the same, feel, relax. Then your hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder. Then you bring your mind down to your heart area, your chest area. Then you silence everything and just feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just stay there and silence everything and meditate. But if you are new, you just relax everything because you are not sensitive. Your mindfulness is not stable. You cannot feel anything, it's okay. Like you feel your forehead, you just relax and feel your body. Then relax, relax and relax. Whatever tension, tightness or stress within that you feel, you relax them. Feel yourself soothingly, relax. Then you move this attention down to your stomach, do the same. Feel, don't think, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then do the same for your leg. Then you reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method from the leg. Feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Stomach, abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then your heart area. Silence everything and feel. Then relax. Then shoulder, hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder, neck, then facial muscle, do the same. Feel each and every strand and relax them all. Then you go on to your eye muscle, then forehead, feel, relax. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Yeah. This is the quiet mind, silent mind that can meditate. So the next step is to stabilize this mindfulness or this quiet mind or silent mind that you have developed the training. You can anchor your this peaceful mind to an object of meditation. If you don't have any particular one, the Buddha recommends Anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is just to train your mind to develop mindfulness of your in and out breath or breathing. So now you silence everything and feel your breathing in front of your nostril, like you feel your forehead feel. The moment you detect the breathing, then you tell yourself, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. So your mind or the awareness just follow. The moment you detect the breathing, the mind and the breath move as one, no thought. And that is mindfulness of the in-breath. Then when you breathe out, do the same, mindfulness of the out-breath. This one for new people, not easy. The mind will wander off very fast. So what you need to do is, every time it wanders off, you bring it back. Every time it wanders off, you bring it back. Then after a while, your patience, this Anapanasati will develop. And when it develops, you become very calm, very peaceful. You will experience a type of peace, they call piti, a type of spiritual joy or spiritual calmness born of meditation, born of the mind being aware and in the form of collectedness. It doesn't wander off anymore. Yeah. So I just let you train your this mind. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you continue with what you have been told or you have developed the understanding of. You just silence everything and just be aware. then you will understand many, many things. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. Okay, this is still one to meditate. You can continue. Just open up slowly, mindfully. Come out of meditation. Do it mindfully. Every action, every movement, whatever minor movement, develop awareness. The calm and peaceful mind with inner awareness and inner peace will be able to follow whatever action and movement that you did as you come out of your meditation. How you come back to normal awareness. How the calm and peaceful mind become more and more relaxed and aware. Then how that mindfulness come back to the full normal conscious awareness within the moment. Then how you move your hand, move your leg, arise your bodily activity. You have to develop that understanding. Develop silent, just aware. Initially, you're not skillful, it's okay. But later on, when you become skillful, even in the midst of meditation, whatever little movement or action, it will be magnified. Means by then you have sati, you have awareness, your mind has become calm and peaceful. Then when anapanasati, the mindfulness of in and out breath can be there for a long period, means you have stabilized, your meditation has started to develop the appropriate result. Then you will experience a very calm mind, a very peaceful mind that is very blissful. They call this mind state piti. Piti is a type of spiritual joy, spiritual calmness that comes with the mind that is in mindfulness or sati. When it's without thought, just aware, it's very blissful, very peaceful, very calm. Then you relax into it. This is the mind that you need to develop. We call it training of the mind, the thinking mind, the heedless mind that think a lot, wander off, heedless, will become peaceful, quiet, and calm. But this one is born of a conditioned state of anapanasati. Later on, you need to develop the spiritual faculty so that it's peaceful on its own. But as you develop anapanasati until it's very quiet, very peaceful, and very still, then it can become mindful on its own without any support or anchor. The meditation object, finally, you can relinquish them. You don't need them to anchor the mind or to make it quiet or peaceful anymore. So all this will happen. Okay, now we continue with our chanting. Turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas in this universe in their entirety. Let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine or the teaching. This is the time to listen to the doctrine or the teaching. This is the time to listen to the doctrine or the teaching. Okay, yeah.
Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā tassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa itti peso bhagava rahang samma sambuddho vichacharana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisadamma sarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati swagato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akkaliko ehipasiko opanaiko pacapang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango nyayapatthari purisayukkani atta purisa pugala issa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo ahuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketa lokasati. So these are the triple gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, their characteristic. For those who still don't understand, turn and look at the English translation. Develop the understanding, then contemplate and reflect until you understand deeply what these triple gems are. Then when you take refuge, you know what you are taking. You don't only take refuge with the words, the Buddha, the Dhamma, Sangha, means you understand who the Buddha is, the nine great virtues, the Dhamma, the character and the characteristics of Dhamma. All those are very important meaning. So when you cultivate, when you don't realize this type of Dhamma, then it is not the Buddha's Dhamma. Then the refuge you take, you will recognize straight away. That's why you will not go and cultivate those type of meditation. Then when you understand what are the Sangha, the character and characteristics of this Sangha, they are of very good conduct. That's why supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho, of good conduct, is the order of the enlightened disciple of the blessed one. Then the next one is of very upright conduct, are the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then the third one is they have a lot of wisdom, a lot of duty, of wise conduct, are the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then the last one is they have this understanding of nature's law that governs life and existence. So they know how to perform their duty in accordance with this nature's law. That's why they have this dutiful conduct. Of dutiful conduct are the order of the enlightened beings of the disciple. So when cultivate and you cannot have this quality, you are not following the right teaching, means you are not a noble one as yet. You don't have all this characteristic or character in you. You are not wise. You are not upright in your conduct. You are not virtuous or good in your conduct. Then you don't know the nature's law that governs life existence. That's why you don't know how to do your duty. This form of mind, when it comes to this conditioned world, is not you, and it has its duty to do. And this one is very important. Then these four pairs of enlightened beings, they are worthy of one and one. You must understand. Worthy of respect, worthy of offering, worthy of give. Yeah? Then worthy of all those, what they call, so all these are very useful. So when you understand, you know there are a field of great merits, incomparable field of great merits. So when you take care of this being, you make offering to them, you offer a gift, then you pay respect and you provide hospitality to them, care for them, food, shelter and medication. These are a field of incomparable merits which living beings can never understand. But when you have this understanding, you will do. Then it will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to progress along the path of Dhamma, because you can invoke power of merits. Later on, I will send you one of the very good WhatsApps that I received today, because somebody wrote to me and thanked me for helping them to invoke our blessings, our metta, our thing. Then I reply back, I say, yeah, we have done our part, but this is not enough for it to be effective. You have to do on your own or on behalf of your loved one certain things. So I explain. First, I say, you must, on their behalf, or if they are in a position to do, ask for forgiveness following what the chanting book has given as a guideline. Then after that, determine to cultivate, following the advice of the Buddha, means keep your precepts. Cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, develop all the wholesomeness, the meritorious action, then do whatever wholesomeness that you can. Then after that, invoke power or merits for causes and conditions for them to recover to whatever mind state or disease that they are going through. And then only it becomes effective. Then the last one is, if they are very sick, very severe, very acute, you have to radiate love and metta to them, the positive energy, the positive healing energy, vibration, so that their immune system can be reversed, their negative tendency of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, all this can be rooted out. Then the positive mind force and energy will create the condition for the immune system to come out again. Then they will recuperate. Then together with enough rest, nature's laws, assistance or help, it will bring forth good results. But if you don't ask for forgiveness to break the karmic obstruction, it's very difficult. Then you don't have this positive energy field, metta, or loving kindness. Very difficult to turn around. Then you must be sincere, have faith, and cultivate. Then only the nature's law take effect. All this is very useful and is very, very powerful. And I can tell you many, many people recovered. But don't treat it as a healing thing. No, we only do this for Kayamita when there is condition. That's why at one time, I remember during a few years back, it become like everybody say, oh, my friend also got cancer, my friend also got this, my friend, then my uncle's friend. We are not supposed to be healers. We are here to study the Dhamma. But if you are part of the Kayanamita, it's different. If there's an affinity, we will arise the condition. But this type of thing can only work when there is condition. You cannot just say, oh, I want to help, I want to help. It doesn't work that way. That's why my nature understands. That's why later on I subtly mention it and stop, or they stop, which is very good, very, very good. But if you, your own loved one or what you have problem or what, then you can come and request and I can explain to you and then it can bring about very good positive result. This is how the Dhamma can become beautiful. Yeah. And the other thing I want you to understand is all this puja help you to develop the spiritual faculty. It is part of the cultivation, a very important part. That's why your daily life, your religious routine, you must incorporate at home, even the short puja, simplified version, do. Every day you do, you will make your cultivation continuous, gain momentum. Then you will become heedful more and more throughout the day. Then only you can progress. Otherwise you come here 2-3 hours, go back heedless again, 6 3/4 day, you repeat your old way of living. And the heedless are as if they're not effective. That's why those who go for retreat, come out post-retreat, you cannot carry this developed mind state into your practice in daily life. You cannot progress. The Buddha mentioned very clearly, the heedless are as if they're Okay, we today chant another one. Next page, page 8. The four objects of veneration. Salutation to the four main objects of veneration. So that next time we travel, spiritual trip, you understand this. The Buddha said you must have gratitude. You must have this, what they call a very good mind state to express your gratitude and loving kindness towards them. That's why you will pay respect to them wherever you see these four objects of veneration. The Buddha called them the Chaitya. Chaitya, the first one is like the stupa where the relics are enshrined usually. So the stupa and the relics. Relics are the after cremation. They call it relics from the enlightened being. They have special vibration. That's why they are object of veneration. And when you pay respect, the nature's law, it will manifest. Then you develop affinity. Then you can receive them. Because when you pay respect with the faith, sadha, virya, your spiritual faculty you will develop. Then when you are mindful, the energy you can receive. Then this will bring for a lot of condition for you to receive all this very, very pure vibration. Then the mind that rejoins will also receive a lot of wholesomeness. Then the Bodhi tree, underneath which the Buddha actually meditated to become enlightened. That's why he has a lot of loving kindness towards that Bodhi tree, a lot of gratitude. So this has developed over the years. Then it is so useful, it helped the Buddha. That's why he wants to pass it on so that we all as cultivator, devotee, will understand their significance. Then the last one is all the Buddha Rupang, all the images of great beings. You have to pay respect because it allows you to recall to mind their great virtue, their great wisdom, and their great nature. So when you understand these are the conditions for your mind state to become very calm, very peaceful, so that it can regenerate the faith and the sadha in you, the confidence in you, and it brings forth the causes and conditions for you to recall his teaching, his great wisdom, virtue, and understanding. So all these are very useful. Okay, together we recite. Vandami chetiyang sabbam sabbathani supatititang Saririke datu maha bohing Buddha rupang sakala sada. I will read the English translation. I salute every shrine or chaitya that stands in any place, the bodily relics of the enlightened being, the great Bodhi tree and all the images of the Buddha and all the great beings. Vandami chetiyang sabbam sabbatane supatititang saririke datu mahabohing buddha rupang sakalang sada. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pay respect mindfully to Triple Jump. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. Very good. We still got 1 hour for Q&A and Dhamma sharing. Okay, anybody got any meditation reporting, you can put up your hand. We will pass you the mic or ask any question regarding the teaching or whatever related to life that you need to understand as to how you can apply this teaching and this understanding to help you understand them. Okay. Anybody? Make full use of the condition. Don't be shy. Your thought shy, not you. Anybody? Nobody. Then maybe I read you the message tomorrow I will WhatsApp. While you make use of this time to decide whether you want to ask question or not or report your meditation. Okay, you listen. He said, "Dear Brother Teo, thank you so much for sending metta to my husband last night, Mahasadhu. Can I humbly request you, if you could, kindly include my husband when you send healing metta for his recovery? Thank you so much for your compassion with appreciation and gratitude." Then I reply, I say, "Message noted, and we will do our part. But for it to be effective, you and your husband and your children must first help your husband to ask for forgiveness following our chanting books format to break the karmic obstruction. Then keep the precept and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma sincerely. Then invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions for your husband to recover from his whatever sickness or condition. By invoking the power of merits. Then finally, to radiate the healing metta energy to him to bring about this very positive inner well-being and loving-kindness energy to overcome all the other negative energy of sadness, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, sorrow and lamentation, etc., thereby reversing and boosting his immune system leading to his recovery. The cell and mind consciousness will then slowly recuperate. If you can, you should also on some very soothing Kuan Yin chanting music like the Great Compassionate Mantra or Heart Sutta. If your husband can also do it, then advise him to do it himself. This will be a lot more effective and better." I said, "Sadhu, and wishing you and your family the best of health. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem be always with you all." Then she replied again. She said, "Thank you so much, Bratio, for your invaluable advice. May the virtue of the Triple Gem protect you and your family always, Sadhu." So this is a very, very wholesome way of developing the understanding. So it is, I hope you all know what to do in future. Don't panic when there is this First Noble Truth reality, like disease and sickness. These are realities of life and existence. You are not the only person in this world who has to confront every living being. If they live long enough, sooner or later, they have to confront them. Some confront them earlier, some confront them later. But whatever it is, this reality of life and existence. You cannot escape. That's why the Buddha say this is the first noble truth, the prevalence of suffering, noble truth of dukkha. If you don't have wisdom when you confront them, you will be afflicted, you will suffer, you will become miserable. You will have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and suffering. This is due to your delusion, your attachment, your clinging, your grasping. Where you cannot understand who you are, what you are. You think you exist. You think you are very real. Then likewise, because of that delusion, you believe you have loved ones, you have your spouse, your children, your parents, your brothers, your sister, your good friend, your colleague, and others who has relationship with you that you hold on to dearly in your life. Even your grandchildren later on, or grand-grandchildren, if you live long enough. So all this can bring about attachment, craving, grasping due to your delusion. That's why you can be afflicted. You can become vulnerable. And you are very weak. That's why I say living beings are very fragile and very vulnerable. The slightest bad news can make you miserable, can make you what they call full of fear, worry, anxiety, unhappy. Yeah. So this is why living beings without the Dhamma, without wisdom, they are very, very vulnerable and very fragile, and they can be afflicted within the moment when bad news strike. Okay? Yeah. So now we go back to the floor. This one is too soft for my back. So next time, if I can, I look for a piece of plywood or plank, harder one. I can sit on it. Otherwise, it keep on going down. Don't worry. For the last 6-7 years, I've been sitting on this. Okay, come. It's your turn. Yeah, sure. So many around can report meditation. Is it? Oh, no use. Oh, okay. Thank you. You don't need it. I put another one in place. No need. Enough. Some check job. Yeah, job. Good enough. Okay. Good one. Okay. How come nobody raised their hand? Well, everybody already understood. So no question. So I no need to share. So what you want me to talk then? You must at least have some question or suggest a topic. Anything that you want to develop understanding and other things. Yeah? Otherwise, whatever book I find, I will share. Get me the seminar book I want to give to that new lady and the blue book. Seminar book and the blue book. Okay. After this, I will give these two books to you. The blue book is about meditation. Most of the instruction I give just now is in the blue book. Then this one is a seminar paper I delivered at the International Buddhist Conference held in Bangkok in the year 2013. It's a very good book. It summarizes all of the Buddha's teaching, how it can help you to understand life, and it can actually develop understanding to make you successful in life. That's why the title of this book is Success in Life via Meditation Following the Dhamma Way. And it's very beautiful, very comprehensive, but a very summarized version. When you read through, you will understand the beauty of this teaching. But to really become a living reality, you have to develop the phase two of Dhamma, means put in the hard work to cultivate, then to make it a living reality, then you become beautiful. Okay? I pass you this two book. Give it to her. Yeah, it's for you. Yeah. Ah, yeah, Danny is here. Oh, the wife also here. Yeah, very good. Sadhu. Go ahead. Yeah, get the mic, sorry, for the recording, Danny. Otherwise, we can hear you. The recorder cannot hear you.
Okay, Brother Chu.
Yeah.
After the retreat, I came back.
Oh.
I tried to be mindful.
Oh, okay. Very good. Then I teach you how.
It is so difficult.
Yeah, not easy. Yeah.
Initially, actually, wake up in the morning. I tried.
Yeah. What do you do first thing? The moment thing, you become conscious.
First thing when I become conscious, I try to be mindful. Try to be aware.
Oh, don't just like, aware. Forget about it. The moment you become conscious, what is the first thing you must be aware? Your posture, isn't it? Because Satipatthana Sutta say after you have developed Anapanasati, means you have trained your mind to be aware, then you have to move into the next category of practice, which is daily life. First, four posture. Sitting, aware. Standing, aware. Walking, aware. This is when you are active. At night when you sleep, lying down, aware. So the first thing when you become conscious is to be aware of your posture. Then after that, you move to your mind state, understand? See what your mind tells you. Then the reality set in. Yeah, you try next time like that. Aware of your posture first. No sound, Then when you are aware, it means your mind, your awareness, together with your body, understand? You know Mandarin, you don't know Mandarin. The Mandarin, Vagusana, the what they call Dhammadram mountain, where they teach meditation. The Master Sun Yen Fasa just passed away not long ago. He tell the student, they ask him, what is meditation? He said, Chan, meditation, 16 words in Mandarin. He said, wherever the body is, the mind must follow. Means body and mind is one. Yeah. That is the first one. Then he said, relax. Totally and fully relax. That is meditation. Very good. That is Kayanubhasana, first foundation. So in Mandarin is, Sen Zai Nali, Sing Ju Zai Nali. Means you are not lost in thought. Understand? You are aware of the moment. Because you have to be with the moment in the four posture. Understand? When you are walking, you have to be aware of your step. But of course, your senses are fully operational. That's why daily life is not easy. In the retreat, you cannot do it. You come out daily life, it's almost, you don't stand a chance. Because why? Because when you are in your daily life, your senses are all operational, fully engaging with the world. That's why I say active. Active means what? You have to see the traffic, understand? You have to see the human traffic. You have to see the actual traffic. Then you have to be aware of many things that goes on. The vibration, the sound, and all the sense experience that you are going to receive through your senses. And you are fully engaged. You are driving, we're still. That's enough. You have to be aware of traffic light. You have to be aware of the movement of traffic from all directions. Then you have to recall where you want to go. That's enough. Then you have to recall the direction of movement. Then if you are not aware, not alert, you don't have this understanding, you will be heedless. The moment you are heedless, you make mistake. And most people's mistake is what? While driving, they think. While driving, the handphone. I saw this lady, hello dangerous. She was actually approaching a junction near my SS2 house, that outside. That crossed the junction. It was 20 feet from the junction. So I saw her playing with the handphone. Then at one stage, she was fully on the handphone because I aware I can be like inside her body. He was fully on the handphone and he forgot about the car. But she quite smart. She slowed down the car until very slow. Then when coming near me, he still don't know. Then luckily, I moved my hand. Then only she saw. Then she put the handphone down. Then she hold the steering. My nature tell me, 起早出事啊， sooner or later you get into trouble. You cannot. Unless you want to listen to handphone, my advice is forget about it, stop somewhere, or if it's not urgent, call them back. If they continue to call, test their patience. How many times can they call? Yeah. That's why I just let it be. Then they ring, 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 2 times, they will normally stop. Then when you have the time, when you are not preoccupied anything, then you answer. But more important is when you understand, if outside you are fully engaged, you cannot. You have to start from home. Home is similar to retreat condition. Understand or not? You got control, you got full control, and you are very familiar with your house. Understand or not? And you don't have to fully engage your senses, because actually they say you blindfold yourself, you know how to move around. You have been staying in the house for so long. Understand or not? And every morning you wake up, it's the same routine. So you actually can develop mindfulness where nobody disturbs you. You don't have to be fully engaged. You can take your time, even phone call ring away. Then decide. No more the thought. The thoughts will make you kanchong, no rush there. Yeah? Forget about it. Now you tell the mind. Now you are the servant. You serve me. I decide. You want to go, I go. You cannot condition me anymore. That's how you reverse the conditioning. That's how you take charge of this mind. This mind, karmically, conditioned out through karma, the form of mind is like a tool and a vehicle for you to use to live life. It serves you, not the other way around. So after you are aware of your posture, you find out when you are aware what happened to the form of mind. What is the first thing that the mind is involved in? Then how you come out from it, you will understand. How you come out of the bed, you will be fully aware. And what is the actual reality that make you come out of the bed? Yeah. Most of this you will not see until I explain, but you make full use of this understanding to check yourself. You don't have to believe me. Yeah, I remember last time when I tested it, I started. I realize I don't have any mental intention to wake up. I don't have any mental intention to arise from my bed. I don't have any intention to go to the toilet. No such thing. What actually happened is the bladder full. So the tactile consciousness trigger off. Upon contact, there is this tactile consciousness. Then immediately your habitual tendency, perceive it all. Wow. You like hurry into the toilet. Then how you come out of the bed also, you don't know. But that is the thing that drives you. Wow, must be fast. Otherwise, I will wet my pants and all those things. Then you are totally unaware how you come out, how you turn, how you remove your comforter, how your hand moves. So you are not aware. That's why you are totally not mindful. Then how you actually stand, walk, your hand move to the toilet door handle, how you turn it, or how you push it in, how you move, how you stand, and how you sit on the WC, or, and before that, how you remove your whatever clothing, and answer nature's call. You can do it mindfully, all this. No need to rush. Then I realized there was no mental intention to do this, do that on. The bladder call, then you know you have to go, understand? Because this is your body's nature's call. Then, because you are aware, you tell the thought, okay, enough. You have been conditioning me to do all this for so long. Now I decide. I want to go, I go. Then you realize no matter how urgent that thing is, you can take your own time. Then you will know how to have that ability to be aware. Then how you come out, how my hand moves the computer, then how I come out, then how I need the weight to press and come to that sitting posture, then how my leg move, body and mind as one. Yeah. Then how I decide to stand. And there's no mental intention, right? Because you already just aware of your movement. Then after that, how you walk, your body and mind as one. Then how your hand, that's why all your posture, you aware. Then how it turn the doorknob, how it move in, then how you walk and step into, then how you go and answer nature's call. The whole of this process, you are fully aware. Then later on, as you sit, normally you think on. You think a lot of thought on what to do, office or what. Means you are never aware of your actual nature's call of our movement. Then after that, you quickly clean up. And how you clean up also you're not aware of. How my hand go and get the toilet tissue, I fully aware. Then how I pull and how I tear. So that this will reduce your thinking, understand not? When you are aware, you cannot think, understand not? It's to slow down your thinking, not slow down your action. That's why you all do the reverse. You slow down your action. If you slow down the action, who cannot be mindful? But that type of mindful is still nothing, still thought-based. The actual mindful is no words on. Then they tell you like the fan. Yeah? You know the fan? 3 blade, 4 blade, 5 blade, you don't know. He said, but when the fan slow down until very slow, how many blades you can see? So they tell you mindfulness is like that. Ayo, the first time I heard, this was a mindfulness talk spoken by a nun. No? That was about 15 to 16 years ago. The moment I heard that, I said, it's okay. Then I just tell the other Karamita, I say, we can go already. Then we left, then we go for. What is happening is, mindfulness is not about the speed. You can be mindful even regardless of the speed, no matter how fast, split second, you can be mindful. We have tested it before. You know our TV, yeah? You know how fast the pixel, you know, all those picture and the pixel, especially violent movie, everything. I can just sit there during that time where I tested it. The mind is fully aware of all the movement, everything, but there is no thought, nothing. If you want to be aware and understand the picture, it can. But when it's just aware, there is nothing. All the movement, no matter how fast you can just follow. Then the vibration, the sound system, everything, fully aware. The mind can be, regardless of the speed. So it's not to slow down your action. It's to slow down your heedless thinking, where your thought is always ahead, proliferate. Because when you think, you make what they call mental noting, understand? You say, okay, after I go to office, I want to do this, I want to do that, understand? So you already plan, understand? Then later on, you suddenly recall, okay, you must bring this along, yeah? Because you forgot, you keep it downstairs. Then after that, you heedlessly, quickly clean up. Then by the time you get ready, you walk out the toilet, walk to the staircase, then you stand there, you forgot. What was it just now I want to look for? It becomes like that. Because as you think, you have this, what they call, you already make that decision to get that thing. Understand? There is no mental intention behind it. You just want to do that. But you cannot remember because after that, you become engaged in thinking again. Other thoughts come in. It's habitual. Then when you brush your teeth also, as you brush, you think a lot. You are never in the moment. When you are with the moment, that movement, the awareness is just with it. Why brushing teeth also must think? I don't understand. Human beings think a lot. That's why the Buddha say the heedless think a lot. Understand? And what is this thinking? Never in the moment. These are all heedless thinking. Because when you are preoccupied with your thinking and lost in thought without awareness, this is heedlessness. Understand? Heedlessness, you are not aware of what is happening within the moment. Where your mind can only do one thing at a time. Correct? When I am aware, I cannot think. The moment I am thinking means what? I am not aware because I am preoccupied with this thought process. Understand? So when you are preoccupied, you think you can multitask. Cannot. Like that lady playing with the handphone. You are prone to accident because you are not attentive. When you are driving, you better drive. Unless you are very skillful. When I am very skillful, I can reflect, contemplate as I drive. But my senses are aware. Answer not. Because you already have the general spacious awareness and you can be attentive. And you are aware of what is more important. Because when I am driving, more important is to drive. Then when there is situation, immediately my senses is on the situation. I will not be lost in thought. Some people, they become heedless, they think, they forgot about driving. That's why they make mistakes. All of a sudden, they actually press on the accelerator without them knowing, then they bang the car in front. And then after that only they realize, oh, the car hasn't moved. Yeah, they thought the car moved already. You cannot. When you are engaged outside, if you are not trained inside your house, you cannot do mindfulness outside. If you do, you will make a lot of mistakes. So that's why I train at home. After I am very skillful at home, stable, then I train to be mindful as I go into my car. Then again, this form of mind train to be mindful as it drives. I develop mindfulness of driving first. Then I see how my mind going back to the old way of thinking. Whenever you near traffic light or what you want to think. Sometimes most people driving, as you drive, you think a lot on, I tell you. Because this is your way. This is your habitual tendency. But when you have mindfulness and you are heedful, you hardly think. You are very clear about what is happening and you are fully mindful. Aware. Then even how your hand, initially you take the car key, isn't it? If it's now automatic, how you actually on the button to actually activate your car door open. So, tap the sound. You fully aware. Then how your hand actually move and open the car door. You fully aware. Then how you actually move into the car, the body and mind is one. Then how you set, how you stabilize yourself, how you close the door. You fully aware. So, then how your hand on the steering. Then if yours is the key one, then how you actually take the key and put into the keyhole and how you start the engine, you're fully aware. If you are with the moment, you got less thinking. And this is your training to reverse the heedless thinking. Otherwise, you cannot. It has become habitual tendency. You think a lot. So this is how you start. Okay? Aware. Then silent and find out what is the consciousness that trigger. Sometimes a thought. Sometimes it's the bladder. Most of them is the bladder. If you haven't been to the toilet for the whole night, your bladder is full. Then you will need to answer nature's call. Then if you don't have that problem, then if you are a cultivator, first thing I do last time, I will pay respect triple gem. Before even I go to the toilet. Unless nature's call is very urgent. Then I will pay respect to triple gem. Then after that, if I decide to sit, I will sit. Then only I go to toilet and do all my things. Or otherwise, I go and answer nature's call. Then I clean up myself. Then I get ready, fresh. Then I will do my religious routine. So during training, I did that throughout the day. Before I sleep, when I wake up, and in between. Then every day, when I come back to my house, I will pay respect to my author first. I develop mindfulness. I develop faith, the spiritual faculty. Then after that, when I go out of the house, before I leave the house, I will also do that. So this training is very important because it trains you to develop spiritual faculty, your faith. Then it develops merits, reverential salutation. Then you send merit, you transfer merit, you rejoice. So these are what they call meritorious action that you can accumulate. Then when you cultivate meditation, then when you reflect, contemplate on the Dhamma, or when you listen to Dhamma, then you straighten your view. All these are meritorious actions. Then you share merit, you transfer merit. Then you help out in activity that benefits the sasana, or provide service to community and all those things. Then you advise your friend and people so that they can be relief of suffering. So, giving of life, giving of joy, giving of hope, giving of love, these are all metta, but in the form of mind state. And this can be very, very wholesome. The gift of life, the gift of joy, the gift of hope can bring forth so much what they call goodness. Because they have fear. These people have suffering. So, you give them love, you give them what they call faith, confidence. They will become different. They will become very calm. So that's why this real giving is very important. So the gift of faith, the gift of confidence, the gift of life, sometimes they donate organ and all those things. If you are in that position to do, like donate blood or whatever, you can do. Then you can pledge your organ. If there is anything that happened to you, then you can let people use it. So these are all very wholesome. then you have the ability to share the Dhamma, gift of truth is very important. Then the gift of hope is also very important. We have people in depression actually have suicidal thought. They never knew that there is hope for them to have a better life or to turn around. But when you have this ability to talk to them, you give them hope. You say you are not alone in this. There are other people who are more severe than you, who have more suffering than you. The only thing is you haven't seen them. Then, no matter how severe, if you understand, the Buddha says suffering need not be. Also, they have this confidence in you, then they want to listen. Because you say you're alive, you decide how you want to live. If you continue your own way, you already know the result. You are already so miserable, so full of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, insecurity, with all the suicidal thought. And you have all the wrong thought because you think that way. That's why you become afflicted. And this is suffering. Why do you want to go through life this way? There are so much more to life, so much more meaning to life. Why must you suffer? Why must you worry about life? Why must you confront life this way? If you have wisdom, the Buddha says, suffering need not be. Life can be meaningful, wonderful. If you are interested, you can tell him, I can share with you the understanding. But even if you cannot, then you say, I know somebody who can. You attend the class, you find out yourself, or you read up some books, then develop your own understanding. And people have turned around, very severe depression, 16 years, 20 years, they turn around. So it's just understanding that you need to develop. When you understand, nobody is so deluded as to choose to suffer. Understand? We hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely our choice. Don't tell me you don't, living being, don't know how to choose. Choose to be happy. Is it that difficult? But what they cannot understand is, they choose to be happy and yet they are hell or unhappy and miserable. Why? Because they don't have this teaching. If they have this teaching, they will not be deluded anymore. They will wake up and they will tell themselves, this is what I will do. I will never go back the old way because this leads to downfall, suffering, misery. So daily mindfulness is very simple when you understand. Start with basic. Don't use the thought. Don't try to be aware. You all, the old way is without you knowing, because you all do it the noting way, the thought-based way. So you always try to be mindful. That trying is by the thought. Mindfulness is very natural. Natural means what? No trying. The mind aware. Aware means what? I share with you in the retreat. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Why can't you check whether you are thinking or not? If you want to be aware of your body, don't think. Mind and body as one. Just feel the body. Feeling is very near the awareness. Where feeling got no positive, negative here. Just pure feeling. That's why it's very near your awareness. Yeah. But the moment you are conscious of that feeling, the sensation, actually the aggregate come out already. But if you have delusion or craving, positive, negative, then pleasant, unpleasant feeling take over. That's why they call it like and dislike. Then the sensual desire, you will also come from this. The evil root of greed, hatred also come from this. The movement of feeling due to delusion. So when you are aware, you just feel the body and mind as one. And then you become very different, no thought. And then you have a lot of clarity. Because no thought is the moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Remember the brown book? Suyang, get me the brown book. I read to you one more time. This one, the Sia and Nancy's house, Dana. This one you must get it very clearly understood in your mind. It is the first page, yeah?
Brother.
Yes.
Actually, you are absolutely right. It's very, very dangerous to try during driving.
Yes, cannot.
Okay. What happened was, let me see. Mm. You used two words. One is awareness, the other one is alert.
Attentiveness.
Two different Actually, I was trying to be aware. And what happened was, my car veered off. There was no thought, but there was awareness. But without me knowing, the thing veered off. And my voice, actually my wife, hey, what are you doing? I quickly turned back.
Actually, you are lost.
It's not only happening once.
No, you are lost in thought.
Two times, I think. Two or three.
You are lost in thought without you knowing. You think you got no thought. You know why? You want to have alertness. Your thought want to have alertness. You are lost in thought. But that one is trying to do and become that state. That's why you don't think. Awareness is not to think. No. Awareness is a relaxed state of awareness, attentiveness, without thought. But you are not fixed on that. You are not trying to be aware. No. Listen, this is the thought wanting to be aware. This is not awareness. The real awareness is relaxed state. That's why the first support is relaxed. Then just aware. Then your senses are fully open. Then anything arise through your seeing consciousness, you will be aware. Then hearing, you will be aware. You are not locked in attentiveness though. Means you are not relaxed. You are relaxed, your car will not sway one. Your car will not sway one. Understand now? When you are relaxed without thought, you are fully aware of your sense experience. Without any contact, you will know. But when you are fixing it, trying to be alert or attentive without thought, the thought is trying to do that. That's why you are lost in thought. Like the one-pointedness guy do ekagata, the jhana one. They say no thought. Who say no thought? The thought say no thought. That's why no thought is still a thought. Actually no movement, because they fix everything there. And that person who is in that one-pointedness state, he cannot think. But the mind is locked, conditioned state. So you are actually in the alert state, but locked. Within that split second, that's why your car sway. When you drive, you must have daily mindfulness in your house first. That's why you start your retreat. I say, if you retreat cannot do, you go back, you don't stand a chance. Because when you are in the daily life, you are fully engaged. And it's very difficult to have mindfulness when you are fully engaged unless your sati has stabilized. Means you are always aware from inside. You know how to engage. And it's very fast. No matter how fast the movement, you're just aware of it. And I remember I drive until the whole movement like very graceful. So I am very confident at that time when I drive alone, my driving is very good. And I know impossible to have accident and mistake. And for so many years, I never have the slightest problem in driving. 24 years, nothing happened to me. How can it be? Because of the mindfulness. But the last 8 years, I fly. I don't drive long distance anymore. So now don't ask me to drive. That's why I go to Australia or I don't want to volunteer. You cannot. I just not more. No more like before, understand? No. Because when I train that time, I will do it very well. But if you need me to drive, I can still drive, but I cannot tell you because this form I know is not as before. Before it can be very alert, very sharp. But this one, as you age, your mind can understand what you need to do. But this form cannot perform anymore. No. It's no longer like before. It's just like last time, you jump over the drain, no problem. Now, at this age, your mind still want to do, no? But the moment I want to do, I know my body has limitation. That's why I don't do that anymore. I don't try to be a hero anymore. I take a walk. Because why? For that split second, you just want to, they call, what? Gaya. Style, gaya, musti mau. Kalatapa, lose no mind but must have style. I tell you, you make one mistake, you land yourself in trouble for nothing. Well, this form is very fragile. That's why this nature understood and asked Kuan Yin to protect. That's why I say you have to seek their blessing, protection and guidance. It's for the form and mind, not for the nature. This form and mind is very fragile. And this life is not because of Kuan Yin's nature. It would have died 3 times. That's why you have to understand the form of mind is still the form of mind. This is karmically conditional, the vehicle and the tool for you to use. Yeah? Anyway, I read this one, you will understand more. I say, just relax yourself, get yourself seated, and maintain some form of sadha, virya, and attentiveness. This one, attentiveness, is relaxed state. Attentiveness is silent awareness before the knowing, which is sati, or mindfulness. When you are attentive listening, you are actually without thought. Yeah. Then I explain. The moment you are attentive without thought, you are already in sati. Understand? You don't have to try. You don't have to try. Oh, I don't want to think. I don't want to think. I want to be aware. Like that, you are not aware at all because you are conditioning yourself through the thought not to think. Understand? And there is thought active behind without you seeing. Then you always recall, what did Brother Teo say? No thought. When I'm without thought, I'm aware. Okay, I force myself not to. Not like that. Understand that you do that means you don't understand. That's why I say you understand, then you just silent. The moment you are silent without thought, you already aware. I try that, like swimming. The moment you can float, you will understand what flotation is. But as long as you are holding on to the float, you cannot understand what the real flotation is. So holding on to the float is holding on to the thought to try to do. No. So listen again. The moment you are attentive without thought, you are already in sati. So when you are attentively listening without thought, that is true listening. Means you really listen because you don't think. You don't chatter inside anasana. You don't verbalize inside. You don't arise your conditioning and view to compare. He said like that, wrong. How can it be? The moment you are lost in thought, interacting, verbalizing, you are not listening. You are not attentive anymore. That's why I put here, you listen. That is what we call the art of listening. When you listen without verbalization, without chattering inside, without any reaction from your knowledge and memory, means your views and opinion, that is the silent mind listening. Can you just listen with your open mind? Listen attentively. And then you will understand. Then after that, I even say, you just listen with an open mind. Then whatever you listen, you can absorb very clearly. Then if there is something not in accordance, you will also understand. But you will not prejudge that speaker. Understand or not? You don't judge him. Ayo, he didn't even have any title, any PhD, or what, Mahathira, or Abbott, or where. He is a nobody. How? When you perceive him like that, means you have a prejudiced view against the speaker. Why can't you just listen? You never know. The one that has nothing on is a real one. The one that has a lot of title on is normally the bogus one. If they really have the Dhamma, they don't want all this. But if it come as a byproduct, then people address them. Sometimes they don't mind, but they don't give meaning or value to it because it's just a worldly way of addressing you. And this form of mind is not you, and they know. That's why the Buddha make it very clear. Anatta lakkhana. This whole lot of five aggregate of form of mind, they are impermanent. Lead to suffering, non-self and empty. He know you, he know me. So when you understand his teaching, you will not be deluded by it. You will not cling to all those titles that people give you. Then you will not cling to all those entities that you deludedly believe is real. That's why the Diamond Sutta is very good. You must cultivate until no mark. You know what is no mark? No mark of a self. No mark of living beings, no. Then no mark of Dhamma, no. And then only you have the full understanding. Then you ask yourself, how can I don't exist? How am I going to cultivate? If living beings don't exist, then how to keep preserved? You cannot understand what the Heart Sutta is telling you and what the Diamond Sutta is telling you. When you cultivate that understanding, means you have that wisdom. You can penetrate beyond the form and the mind. Then you can see the unreality of form, the unreality of mind. Then you will not be deluded by it. But doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Within the conditioned world, it exists. They say the conditioned world has birth, old age, sickness, and death, has Dhamma, has enlightenment, has the Buddha and all those things. But in true emptiness, when you penetrate all this, there is none. That's why the Heart Sutta is very clear and there's no contradiction. So just like this one, when you understand, you know what sati is, you will understand how to cultivate. Then I read on. So Dhamma is about learning how to silence your mind more and more and be more and more attentive. Where the moment you are silent, you are actually aware and attentive. Where you are not verbalizing, not chattering, not using knowledge from your memory, your brain, your conditioning. You are just being aware with a free mind, not conditioned, not holding on to anything, silent and just aware. And that mind is the most beautiful mind. Well, that mind is a free mind. Without thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no conditioning, nothing. You just stay silent, attentively relax in the silence. And you can even rest your body and mind, like in a sleeping state, but you're not sleeping, you are aware. That's how you can do lying down meditation. And you can be very peaceful and full of understanding. Then the movement, the transformation, all it will happen by itself. Then I read on. So I said, the moment you're attentive, you are already aware. So don't try to be aware. And then after that, I go on to the next one. Next one is about cultivating virtue. Then I say, I would like to thank all Kayamita who can make it to be here today to partake and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. At the same time, we can learn to develop more and more of these good mind states, which are very wholesome and virtuous. Virtue is very important. Virtue are your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, your whatever good mind state. They constitute wholesomeness. They give rise to good vibration. A person who can keep his precept has virtue because he has no negativity. If you are a virtuous person, you have no wrong thought or negative thought. That is why you cannot violate the precept. You cannot kill, you cannot harm, you cannot deceive, cheat, or commit sexual misconduct. And you cannot give rise to inappropriate speeches that can hurt and harm people. You will not consume intoxicants that will make your consciousness low. And because of that, the Buddha said, keeping your precept or cultivating virtue is a source of true happiness, true spiritual peacefulness, and it brings about true spiritual wealth. The monk will chant this in Pali for you to understand after having administered the five precepts. They will chant, Imani Panchasika Padani. The meaning is, these are the five precepts, Pancha. Then Silena Sukantin Yanti. Virtue or precept is the source of true happiness. Because sukantiyanti is happiness. Then silena bhogasampadan. Then virtue or precept is the source of true spiritual wealth. Then silena nibuddhiyanti. That's why virtue or precept is the source of true peacefulness. Then tasma silang visode. Therefore, let precepts of virtue be purified. So you need to actually maintain the precept and purify the precept so that you are incapable of coming negativity. Then after that, I went on to share this. Hence, keeping precept can bring about a lot of happiness and a lot of joy to you. You must learn how to develop this happiness and joy. Sadhu is rejoicing in the wholesomeness of others. When you are able to witness them doing all this wholesomeness, you rejoice by saying sadhu. We can rejoice in other people's generosity, their sincerity and their faith, seeing how they help prepare all this offering. All this can lead to a lot of wholesomeness. There is a lot of synergy too, because for cultivators who understand, they not only rejoice, but they will radiate their pure wish. Because when they rejoice with your wholesomeness, they will send you pure wish. And in return, all those who have partaken in this dana offering will also receive all this wholesomeness. You remember before we eat at the retreat, what do we recite? Can you remember or not? What was it that you recite? You send your blessing to them in there. First of all, what you do? You rejoice with the wholesomeness of all those who have made this food available, whether through their generosity or through their hard work. So after that, you say, may this wholesomeness pave the way for them to realize their good and noble wishes. Then you reflect on the purpose of food. Understand? I take this food not to bring forth the craving, not to fatten myself, or not to beautify myself, not to satisfy my craving. But I take this food because I need to sustain this body so that it can be in proper health, to help support the cultivation. So all this understanding will bring forth the clear mind that will not indulge in good food. Then you see how you're craving. So you are not here to actually indulge in good food or allow your craving to manifest, because you must be worthy of this offering. Understand? Even though you say, hey, I pay for it now. Yeah, you pay for it. But then people pick up the dana and offer. Understand? Means it's an offering to the group. So that funds will go back to the common pool for us to do all the wholesomeness. So even though you have paid by now, all this food has been offered by people. So this offering, you have to actually rejoice, then reflect, am I worthy of this food? Like the monk, understand not? If you are not worthy for me, I dare not eat, understand not? But if I'm worthy, I rejoice, because I understand there is a great synergy. Because if they know how to develop this understanding, and they really, through their sincere mind, with generosity and service, to help make this offering available where they know it's very wholesome, where these are cultivators. So in return, we will rejoice. Then we will send our pure wish. Then sometimes cultivator, apart from reflecting on the food, especially my nature, when I see you do wholesomeness, those who do the toilet duty, sweep floor, or what, you remember I come by, I say, sadhu, I rejoice. Then sometimes you're lucky, you got condition, the pure wish already there. And sometimes they do it so sincerely without them realizing it. Then even when you visit the spiritual place, when you host this dana or what, the monk, after they receive your food, they will chant blessing for you. I read on. Just like the monk, if you support them, they support you back in kind. In the form of Dhamma sharing, via their understanding, they will rejoice. They will help you invoke appropriate pure wish. Then they will also chant for your blessing and teach you the Dhamma. So in return, you receive spiritual wealth. So that is why the Buddha said, sila and virtue is not only the source of true happiness and joy, it is also the source of great spiritual wealth. That's why they will chant for you the 14, ayu wana sukang palang, means by the power of your wholesomeness, may it bring forth the causes and conditions for you to have these four good mind state. Ayu is long life. Then ayu wana is fair complexion. Then sukang is happiness. Palang is strength, mental strength and spiritual strength and even physical strength. So this will be the blessing. Then sometimes they will chant sabbe tiyo viva jantu sabba rogo vinasatu mate tantrayo sakadi. Then after that, they will invoke the power of triple gem. Bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata and all those things. Then sabba buddhanu bhavina sadasuti bhavantute. Then dhamma, then sangha. So these are the blessings that they actually shower upon you. Because in return, they give you all this. So when you understand there's a lot of synergy, then I say spiritual wealth is wealth that cannot be taken away, not like materialistic wealth. that can disappear. Spiritual wealth is accumulated within your spiritual nature. And when you connect via your meditation, it will support you all the way. Then when you keep your precept or virtue, you will have a lot of mental peace. That's why it's a source of true peacefulness, the serene, calm, and peaceful mind, or tranquil mind. The mind with very little or no restlessness and problem. Because when you keep your precept, you don't harm, you don't kill, you don't cheat, and you don't deceive. And you will not do all those wrong things. Hence, you will not have problem in life. You will have less fear, less worry, and less anxiety. We are those who break precept. I tell you, they're full of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. Yet they scare people know. Especially you lie to your wife or your spouse, I tell you. Then a lot of other things, when you lie to your office, when you lie to your good friend, or somebody who actually trusted you, when you deceive them, cheat on them, you really have a lot of fear that one day when they come to know, I tell you, 朋友都没得做, they tell you, understand? Friendship also gone. So all this is what? Constant fear haunting you, just because you deceive and cheat one time. Is it worthwhile or not? To carry all this fear and misery in your own mind state because of what you did. Even when you lie to your spouse, when you cheated somebody, or when you commit some, what they call, unlawful thing. You scared the police come after you. You scared the office when they come to know they charge you for CBT. Then you got a hell of problems. So all this is because you don't see the danger of violating precept. And it brings about negativity or karma, your downfall. Then you don't have to confront civil law, civil society's law, like police case, and all those crime-related issues. And because of that, you can sleep well. That's why precept is a source of peacefulness. Understand? Otherwise, fun kao to mona fun, you cannot get a good sleep. You don't have to worry about people coming after you to take revenge. You are more peaceful. If you violate your precept, you have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then when this negative karma ripen, they will condition you into a lot of suffering and misery, causing your mind to become restless. So these are all hindrance, suffering, misery. That's why there is no peace within and you become heedless. But once you keep your precepts, your mind becomes more peaceful and calmer. That's why precept is a source of true peacefulness. True peacefulness can bring about a lot of good mind state for you to develop meditation. When you are peaceful, you have clarity of mind. You can be mindful. You are in a state of relaxed, silent awareness. That's why you can meditate. Then I say, that's why after cultivating sila, samadhi kick in. Then sila and samadhi will give rise to wisdom, which is panya. That's why the Buddha say, the meditation is sila followed by samadhi, then only wisdom arise. Then to help you further, he add in one dana. Dana, sila, bhavana. Bhavana is samadhi and panya, same. So the actual understanding comes from dana and sila. Dana will set the base for you to have merits, for you to make aspiration to avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet out with the wise, and develop the condition for you to cultivate the Dhamma and become enlightened. So that one will actually pave the way for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. That's why you need merits. Then you can invoke merits to help you in whatever difficulty or danger, so that all this can become useful as you walk the path of Dhamma. Otherwise, it's not easy. Okay? Yeah. So slowly you do it. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Wow, so fast. Left with 5 minutes here. Okay, any more sharing or question or reporting? So hopefully tonight it helped you understand the importance of precept. It's like a revision of what we did at the retreat. Then what Danny asked is very good, because you don't ask, I cannot point out. Then I don't know where you get stuck. That's why you have to ask. Then only the teaching can come out. We have no condition. This nature cannot share with you anything. That's why you must ask. Sometimes your question may not be very important or significant, but the condition will arise. Then it will actually lead to other understanding. Yeah. That's why from one very simple question, it branches off into so many related dhamma and understanding. Okay? So, have faith. Always remember, have faith. Be sincere to walk this way. Then persevere. Your dhamma will be there. You will progress. Faith is very important. Faith what? Faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then tell yourself, how can I develop that? How can I strengthen it until it becomes unshakable? Like the Buddha said, the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. So you have to develop the contemplative wisdom. You contemplate. Because you chant Itipeso Bhagava, Arahang, Sama, Sama. You must understand what these are. You don't like a parrot. So parrot, no use. That's why they always chant, Buddhang, Saranang, Gacchami. You don't understand what it is. It's no different from the parrot reciting after listening to you. You mean the parrot also take refuge? Yeah? The parrot cannot take refuge. The parrot don't understand. But it can repeat. So verbalizing is not understanding. Verbalizing is just follow, gullible. But if you are a serious cultivator like me last time, I want to understand what I recite. I want to understand why I recite. There are two inquiries there. I must understand what I recite. Then why I recite. Clear or not? Can you follow? If you don't even know what you recite, means you are totally actually gullible, deceiving yourself. You don't even understand what you recite. Then in the name of meditation, you meditate without understanding. They say, you do like that. One day you become enlightened. So you blindly believe and follow. But you don't know what this thing is. Then why you recite? Also don't know. So why you meditate like that? Why you know this? Also you don't know. Then how can you progress? If you don't know what you are doing, impossible to progress. Like badminton or play chess. You want to play chess. But you don't understand the chess rule. Because you don't want to find out. Then they say, horse must walk like that. Then Chinese chess are different, no? Got back up, oh no, block you and you cannot move. You don't even know. You just heard people, like that cannot move, but like that can move. Without understanding, next time you want to move your horse, you also very scared. Like that don't know correct or not. And then like meditation, and like that do correct. Every time, relative, correct. Right? Then if you say not right, then what must I do? If you ask question like that, you cannot progress. But you don't want to understand. You don't want to investigate yourself. What you should do is, you go and investigate. Until you got problem, you cannot go further. And then you ask yourself, how come I try? I still cannot understand why they say the horse cannot move like that, can move like that. But English horse different, no? Anything also no block on, just like no traffic light one, can move on. As long as it's L shape, you move already. But Chinese chess got new rules. Understand? That's why when you cultivate the Dhamma, you go to different place, they got different rules. So you have to abide, accord and flow. Otherwise, you will have conflict. You will compare. Why this temple so strict one? Why this retreat, the teacher so strict one? I go, Brother Teo, one, I can lie down, I can snore. You go and tell them like that, you get me into trouble. You also get into trouble. You cannot compare like that, because I understand, I monitor you, and I don't let you do things without understanding. That's why I am very liberal in that sense. I want you to do with understanding. Then you can do. But if you don't have that understanding and you want to become liberal, everybody do sleeping, not lying down anymore. Everybody is snoring. Then like what? That's why that Brother Chia from Singapore initially, first few days, he really I tell you, he cannot tolerate you. He say like fish market, betahan you here. Well, he go on, the one he attended, so disciplined, no? All silent, no? Then everybody very mindful, no? Wow, come to this retreat, like free for all, is it? That's why, then, all the teaching and the sharing opposite of what he do, that's why first 1.5 days his face was red, no? But luckily he got good parami. Then after the first half, 1.5 day, he toned down. No? Every time he asked question, the answer came back, make him speechless. No? Because he is not a gullible guy. No? He really questioned. No? He say, he don't want to make mistake. No? He really find out. No? And unless he is sure, he don't want to even follow what you tell him to do and listen. Then later on, after that 1.5 day, he came and asked me for time to meet up with him, no? Extra time. No? Our class afternoon start 1:30, remember? He make appointment. He said, "Brother Teo, when can I see you?" I say, "What time you want to see me?" Then he don't want to say, he said, "I leave it to you." I say, "Okay, 1 o'clock you come." Oh, 1 o'clock he come, so different. No? You know what he did? Yeah, I was sitting on the small table, remember, with the chair. He said, "Brother, I said, get a chair." He said, no. He go and get his cushion. He sat on the floor. First thing he did, I know, caught him already. He paid respect to me. And he said, "I really, really need your advice." Then he asked the question, no. He said, "How can he progress from what he has heard?" He said he will follow the instruction. He will relax, silent. Because he know how difficult to relax or not. Actually, he went through more difficult than you all know. But he is a very disciplined guy. You know. When he know it's wrong, he really, really reverse it. He do energy field. He can go into all those jhana and the formless jhana. And he can expand his consciousness. And he was so skillful. And even you ask Song, the teacher in Thailand last time, they all got a retreat, don't know, 40 days. He said the teacher, through the astral, come and check on them. He also can know that the teacher is coming, check on them, in the spirit form, in the what they call consciousness form. He tells Song, he said, he just came, and he just left. So all this is energy field. That's why he's very good. Then when I say, remember the first support, relax. Wow, so he keep on doing, relax. Immediately after that, come back. The thought, the focusing, the concentration. Then relax some more. Then he move his mind to other places. Then again he try, relax. Then again, he thought he's silent. Energy build up again. I say, you are not silent. Your old habitual tendency, you are still noting without you knowing that you are not. He say, "Yeah, I know, brother, your energy build up again." Oh. Then he tried, tried until he also don't know what to do. Yeah? He was in the cross-legged way. Then he saw everybody lying down. Then he actually meant to be on. Chin Hao was there, snoring like anything. That was really sleep. Because he first time doing it, so you can't blame him. Then he commented, he said, "How can I in a retreat snore until like that?" So what the way? Then you know what happened? He heard I say, the best posture is lie down. He also go and try. You know what happened? He go and try. Wow, he felt so good. Really can relax. I say like a dead body. Really. Then he himself also snore. But he can hear his own snoring. That's why he was very happy. Then after that, he told me and he told Song, "No wonder people snore." Because this posture is different. Understand? Then after that, he got confident. I said, "If you relax like that, you must carry this mind state into the daily life." Then I say, "I will teach you the real meditation." Then I throw the triangle. He keep on listening attentively. Then he wanted to, copy the notes. I say, "You don't copy." I said, "You want, you take your handphone, take a shot." Then later on, I remember, I got this chart in the WhatsApp, no? I WhatsApp to you all, remember? The Thursday class. Then I located it, then I WhatsApp to him, no? Then he saw, no? Oh, is it so beautiful? He said, from which book you copy one? I look at him, no? I said, no book one, you cannot find one. This one I draw it out myself. Then only he knew, no? So at first he thought I also learn from people, copy from people and share it. I said, no, this one, nobody has taught. You can go and check the internet, I said. Nobody teach this way. Or then only he starts to have faith. No? And so after that, you all were lucky, the session continued. Then I explained that again. Then this Gladys, you remember Gladys? She was in Penang all the time. She only attended my class once. After that, she got faith. She followed the recording. That Thursday class when we share this triangle, you know what he told me? He said, Brother Teo, not until I attend your retreat and see you explain in person where you point, I know. There in the recorder, you just point. You say, here, you meditate from here, I say. Then you develop understanding, direct seeing. But the pointing not there, you listen that time, here, understanding but without picture. That's why she cannot follow. Then she look at the chart, she cannot understand. Many people tell me they cannot understand. It's like cultivator. That's like, oh sorry, I got the story. I just finished off this one. Then she told me, luckily you repeat this and the retreat. That's why you don't see in person and hear attentively in person. Not easy for this to go in unless you already have your past cultivation. Then immediately, like that chia. He has his path, but nobody teach him the wisdom way. That's why now, with that type of concentration that he has, he is very thorough. You know what he told me later on in Singapore? You ask him to choose durian, he's very good one. Until the durian seller scared of him. Yeah, today you don't choose, no good one. He spent 20 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, just to choose 100, maybe 2 or 3 only. Then he buy that one. Then he go and choose watermelon, no, go one day in the supermarket. The wife knows he very good. He spent 10 minutes, he only got one, no, very good one. Then one old lady come, no, is it? How sang chai, is it? You very good in choosing, help me to choose. That's all. So he said, yes, apo, so help to choose. He know already, no more good one. Aya apo, he give his one away to the old lady, you know. Wow, the wife saw him give away. You know, how can you spend 10 minutes supposed to buy home we all to eat the good one? You just give other. He said, I also don't know. First time I do that. He said, I never do that one. He said, yeah, he quite selfish one. But he said that they don't know what happened. The heart just gave. I said, because you have that in your nature. That's why you will give. So he said he very disciplined. He got cholesterol, you heard Song. He got conditional. Come back, he went with me for dinner. We have Song requested whether I got tired. I said, yeah. Then he heard a lot of things. No. Then he told us this one. He got cholesterol very high. No. The doctor said, I must keep you with me, otherwise I won't let you off. No. Then he told the doctor, 3 months from now, I will come back with a blood test and you see what happened. He really disciplined until the cholesterol dropped. Until the doctor said, okay, now you can go. He very disciplined. That's why he meditate also very disciplined. He this type of people can progress. Yeah, he very serious. When he understand, he will move. So now he is full of faith. He want to volunteer, is it? To be helper. And he suggest twice a year retreat. I say cannot. Once a year is the best. Because you have to cultivate. Otherwise you go there, you wasted your time. You have 1 year for you to, after the understanding, you cultivate. You become beautiful. Then the next year, we are the nature up there very different. The understanding is very different. You will progress very fast. Okay, we have to stop. So we will do the sharing of merits. We just chant the Pali, save time. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa Cirang rakan tu lo kasa senap. Ita wata cam ehi sampadan punya sampadan. Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya vignitu shai idang menya hotu idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo sadu 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 keeping respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. The other thing about daily mindfulness is always remember when you are sitting alone, how you move your hand, how you turn your hand, when you blink your eye, you have to develop awareness. As you are aware, you remember the momentum, you actually cut off the thinking momentum, the heedless thinking momentum. So as you cut off, the thinking become more difficult to arise. The heedless thinking become less heedless. Then you straighten your view. You have to reflect, contemplate, listen to Dhamma, straighten your view. As you have more right view, you got less avijja. The thinking slow down because avijja paccaya sankhara less. That is how your mindfulness will slowly, slowly improve. So if you don't listen to Dhamma, contemplate the three turning, develop the wisdom to straighten your view, very difficult for your sankhara to go down, to have less thought. Unless your kaya nuvasana, you can do it very well. So you do both is the best. I realize very fast your mind settle down. Even you smile aware of this movement, the blinking of the eye especially. Then I like to move my hand like that last time. Then sometimes I just turn it like that. Then I develop mindfulness. I anchor it there. Then as I walk, my leg develop the movement. Then as I silent, whatever vibration and movement, my awareness is with it. Then sometimes you need to straighten, you're fully aware. Then you need to come out of the meditation, you're fully aware of your movement. So every action, every movement in present moment. And then your mindfulness, daily mindfulness, you will improve very fast. Then always aware inside, from the heart out. Maintain awareness inside, then you will be aware of outside. If you are not aware of inside, you would think. I remember when I maintain awareness here, it anchor the awareness here, then it doesn't think. Where I can only be aware here, then I don't think. If I'm not aware here, most of the time I'm lost in thought. So you have to anchor it to your heart. That's why initially when I drop to the heart, my meditation, I realize the heart is a very important anchor. Where from there I am aware. Your nature is from here, further away from your brain. That's why you don't think so much. So later on, learn to listen from here, see from here, do everything from your heart. You become very different. Then you bypass your brain. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, you don't ask me. I forgot all this. Well, last time when I was doing the training, I went through all this. But there is no condition to tell you. So I forgot about it. So now I only recall where there were conditions. Okay?
Let us keep this reminder of virtue within our heart always. And let us rejoice again by saying Sadhu Chaitanya to Bhagavan and Sadhu. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Let us express our Sadhu. Thank you.